Continuing our studies in the book of Romans, we're going to start Romans chapter 13 this morning. It's interesting what you think when you began studying or anticipating what you're going to study, that, oh, this will be a piece of cake. Sometimes when you bite into a piece of cake, you find a hacksaw blade in there. Anyway, I thought it was pretty interesting to study this and to work through it, because I think we all appreciate the fact that we need to obey the law. And we're to be in subjection to higher powers and what they say. And how do we balance that with what they say we should do and what we know that God wants us to do? Because there is a time when there's going to be conflict. And so hopefully the Lord will provide us some thoughts here that will help us to put these things together in balance and understand what the Lord is saying to us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power of God, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not for wrath, only for wrath, but for conscience sake. For this cause pay we tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending to continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And we will end our reading in verse 7. One of the first things that came to my mind as I was reading this passage of Scripture is that I reflected upon chapter 12 about those who rule. And we are to have respect for those who rule over us. But I couldn't find words that would connect chapter 13 back into chapter 12 other than in the English. The Greek text does not support the word rule or ruler. They're not the same words. But they still apply. Those who have authority in the church should have be able to serve with respect and not disrespect. And when I read verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. When I think about the powers that be in the world that we have known in our lifetime, that's pretty bad reflection upon God's appointments. Because we know that there are those that have not honored God in their rule over their kingdom. And so in studying this, what I found is that we are to be in subjection to civil authority or governments. That makes a distinction between the government and the laws that they pass. God, we need to appreciate the fact that God established civil rule, civil government. But He didn't pass all the laws. There's a distinction between the two. And the laws that man passes or establishes oftentimes conflict with God's. And I think one of the primary ones is Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, they got the king to pass a law that you could not petition any other god other than the king. And of course, Daniel had to continue his prayer life. And he had to be thrown in the lion's den. So there is, we need to respect civil authority, even though it may not be what we would like in Daniel's day. Daniel respected the king. But he did not obey all the laws or all the rules. And that's what we need to appreciate too. So it says that every soul be subject to civil authority. For there is no power or civil authority or government but of God. And the word of is the Greek word hupo, and that means under God. God is above all governments. He does not establish the evil governments, but He is above all established governments or civil authorities. That's hupo. The powers that are ordained are the powers that be or ordained or appointed hupo under God. So we have authorities, civil governments, and we know that God established that. When I think about from the time of Adam and Eve to the flood, there was no civil authority established. When God said in Genesis chapter 6 or 9 verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." That verse right there established civil authority. A country that can execute capital punishment has a government. Israel lost that ability, and they should have known Messiah was there. But anyway, the point is this. Genesis 9:6 is when man established, or when God established civil authority. It took 1,500 years for man to corrupt itself and become violent, and God established civil authority, and it's taken 3,500 years for us to arrive at today, where we're living in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah. Government, regardless of how difficult it may be to live under, does or did establish a rule so that man would not become out of control like they did in the first 1,500 years. Now, Jeremiah tells us something that we all appreciate in verse 23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Even though God established civil government, it's not in man to direct his steps, to pass the laws that will help him. And I appreciate that. Now, we're talking about governments of the earth, and in Daniel chapter 2, we see Nebuchadnezzar's image, an image with a head of gold, breastplate, and arms of silver. Read in Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 through 33, we see that God gave an overview to Nebuchadnezzar of all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, "This image, the image's head of gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron and his feet part of iron and clay, or part of iron and part of clay. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, head of gold. The breast of silver, breast and arms of silver. This is the Medes and the Persian Empire that came after Nebuchadnezzar. Then we find the belly and the thighs of brass. This is the Grecian or the empire that was established. And then the legs of iron is that of Rome. And Rome really established a very strong law. And then the feet, part of iron and part of clay, shows you the value of a government that is involved with the people, because I look at clay as people. People today are becoming more involved in swaying the government. What do the politicians and the ones who make the law look at? They look at the polls. Where do the polls come from? Well, supposedly from people, though I'm sure that the media has their say in the matter too. But anyway, the point is this. It makes our government weak when the people in power do not support the constituents. They support the polls. So we see these governments and we see the decay of government. Nebuchadnezzar being the supreme potentate here on the earth is the most valuable of the governments. And we know that Jesus Christ will one day be the head of gold and there won't be any other parts. It'll just be Jesus Christ as the supreme potentate. He will rule with a rod of iron. And there will be no poles. There will be no mixture of iron and clay. It'll just be what he says and that will be it. Now, when we think about laws are made by governments, the Lord said to those that were testing him in Luke 20, verse 25, and he said unto them, render ye therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. So we can see that Caesar has we have to answer to Caesar, but we also have to answer to God. And we need to render to the things that are Caesar's, that are His, and we need to honor the Lord with the things that are His. And an example of that is in Luke chapter 2. Just passing Christmas season. We see in Luke chapter 2 verse 1, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed or enrolled. And in verse 4, it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of David, Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Now here are the things that are Caesar's. Caesar says, we're gonna collect a census so we can collect the taxes. We want to know where you are and who you are. So when we come by, we'll know your name and we'll know how much to get. So this is just an example of responding to Caesar's decree. In Titus chapter 1, we're told that Paul told Timothy, or Titus, excuse me, to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. God established the governments, and His intent was for the governments to pass good laws to protect the people. But the governments haven't done that down through the years. So the intentions of civil authority was to have laws in place so that those that are under the governments would be ready to do good things. That's the intent of civil authority. And that's what God intended for man to do. But that hasn't taken place. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance or law of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers," or the lawbreakers, "and for the praise of them that do well," that is, obey the laws, "for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." What is the well-doing? The well-doing is rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. This was the intent that God had in establishing government. Now, God does not want us to be under or to obey evil commandments. When I think about putting to silence the ignorance of foolish men, I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:28, it says that Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words." The king says, "You bow down to my idol or else." They yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Now, this is where God established Nebuchadnezzar as a civil authority, but he did not pass the law that Nebuchadnezzar passed to bow down to this idol. That, I see, is the distinction in these verses in Romans chapter 13. We're not to obey every law that the governments pass, particularly when they oppose the God that we serve. Now, I think we can serve the God, our God, and we don't have to recoil against every law that's passed that we don't like. In fact, God does not want us to tear down governments. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do today. If you're trying to bring down a government or civil authority, you're opposing God's will. God established Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not a perfect man. Nebuchadnezzar made laws that were contrary to that of God. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not try to find somebody to take over Nebuchadnezzar's place. They lived under the law of Nebuchadnezzar until the laws that he made were contrary to conscience, that they could not accomplish. Now, in Romans chapter 13, verse 2, we read, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment." When I see the word resistance here, or resisteth, it's in the present tense, and it's in the middle voice, "Whosoever therefore resisteth for themselves the authority," that is, the governmental authority, "stands against," the word resisteth here is a different word, and it means to stand against, to put down civil authority. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power of the government," stands against the ordered institution of God. The word ordinance here carries the idea of ordered institution. So if you're resisting federal or resisting civil authority, you're resisting God, because God is the one who established civil authority, and God doesn't want us to do that. It's not our purpose to go out and change the government. It's our business is to learn how to trust God regardless of who's in power and whatever the consequences are. And we need to realize the fact that it is God that gave the authority, established civil government, and it's the government that doesn't know how to pass laws to help the people. Because the people that are in government are corrupt, and even more so today. Why? Because we know we're living in the last days. We're living in the sixth day. We're living in the last of the sixth day, which was in the days of Noah. And we know that corruption filled the earth and violence too. So, if we are resisting the authority, we're standing against what God has instituted. And they that stand against what God has established in government shall receive to themselves judgment. Now, it doesn't tell us who they will receive the judgment from. Obviously, it could come from the government. But if you're opposing what God has established, you're going to be looking at some judgment from God Himself. Okay? Now, let's continue. Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. For the rulers are not a terror to good, nor to good works. That's not the way it has been, is it? There are rulers that have been a terror to good works. In fact, Paul suffered under a ruler who crucified him, along with Peter and others. But rulers were not designed to do that, as far as God was concerned. But they were rulers are to be a terror to those that are evil. Will thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For the ruler is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, to an avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That was the intent of God establishing civil authority. And corruption has changed that. And so what God is telling us is what the intent of civil authority is, and we're not to be tearing down civil authority, but we're to learn to live under those rulers who want to terrorize those that are good. And so verses 3 and 4 tell us what the purpose of civil government was intended for. When I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego again in Daniel chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. It says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Notice that they addressed him as the king. They respected Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't call him a jerk like they do today. I mean, they have no respect for authority today. You look at the cartoons in the paper. Respect for authority is out the window. They still addressed him as the king. But whom they served, was in charge of their life. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We know what the purpose of government was for, but it doesn't always work that way. And we need to be willing to accept whatever the consequences are for us to serve our God for conscience sake. And notice that he says, our God will deliver us. There's two ways that they knew that they would be delivered. If they threw him in the furnace, they would die. Is that deliverance? Absolutely, it's deliverance. Absent from the body, present with the Lord today. Okay? For sure. But God delivered them another way. They had a party. And they had, and the Lord was with the three men in the furnace. And of course we know that they did not worship the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar set up. And we need to respect those in authority too. And I was looking for, I remembered what happened to Paul when he was being tried in the council. In Acts chapter 25, verse 11, he says, if I be an offender or have committed things worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof, of these, accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appealed unto Caesar. That's permissible for us to do that. That's submitting to the governments. And Caesar had set up a system for the Roman citizens to be heard by him. And because Paul was a Roman citizen, he had the privilege of appealing to Caesar, and he did that. Now, God established the governments. In Romans chapter 13, verse 5, it said, wherefore we must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience. In other words, obedient to what God has established. And we know that the wrath can come from the governments that's been established, as it was in Daniel's day. And so we need to be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake, conscience toward God. Then in verses 6 and 7, he continues, for this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we need to honor those in authority, and not to curse them, and not to say evil things about them. We just need to respect them because of who they are and what God has allowed them, where God has allowed them to be. And I was just thinking about Paul's situation when he was being tried by the Jews, when he was before King Agrippa, and he appealed to Rome. But here in Acts 23, verses 3 through 5, it says, Paul is sitting in the Sanhedrin, and he says, commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. In other words, they struck Paul in the face. And they that stood by, of course, the reason why they did is because Paul called him a white wall. You've been whitewashed. And he says, and they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And then Paul was being tried by those that were not walking with the Lord. Yet he honored the high priestly office, and he acknowledged the fact that he shouldn't have said anything about him like that. Shouldn't have called him a whitewashed person. In other words, white on the outside, dark on the inside. So, anyway, he quoted Exodus 22:28. Thou shalt not revile the gods. And actually that should be translated judges. Nor curse the rulers of thy people. Now that doesn't say anything about the rulers of other people, okay? But I do know that we're not to be reviling against or saying things against those who rule over us. We need to respect them. Now, who are these people that lose respect for authority? Jude tells us a little bit about them. He says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when he contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring any railing bring against him any railing accusations, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Why did Michael not say anything against the devil? Because the devil had authority over Michael. He was higher in rank than Michael. In fact, the devil is the god of this age. He is the judge of this age. And he has the authority. And he was the head of the angels. And Michael respected the authority of the devil. Okay? And he did not bring any railing accusations against the devil. In John chapter 19, Jesus is sitting before Pilate. Then Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me?" And Pilate said to Jesus, "Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." We need to live like that. There's no power against us but that which is given by God against us. I was listening to an incident in Vietnam about a missionary lady and a military man that had been captured by the Vietnamese. And they were trying to make the woman missionary do something, and they were going to shoot her. And she just says, "You can't shoot me, you can't even pull that trigger unless God allows you to do that." And you know what? It stunned the Vietnamese soldiers such that they didn't shoot her. Now they got rid of her another way, but they didn't shoot her. Because she knew that they couldn't pull that trigger unless God allowed that to happen. And that's where God is in charge of those in authority. In other words, He gave Pilate His authority to do what he did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 tells us to honor all, respect all people. We need to have respect one for another. We need to fear God. And we need to honor the King. Give Him His due. And we need to appreciate the fact that God does rule in the kingdom of men. In Daniel 4:17, "This matter is by decree, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basis of men." Now He is not in favor of what they do, but He even sets up people that are base to accomplish His will. And we need to appreciate the fact that those in authority over us have been placed there by whom? By God. And you know what? God can remove them at any time He chooses. Now, one of the verses that I enjoy reading, because we don't live on a dunghill, but we don't have a lot of money, but one day I can be a prince or a king or a lord. Psalms 113, 7 through 8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. God can raise a man like Joseph from the Egyptian pits to the pinnacle of the palace of Pharaoh. And God is in charge in doing that. I wanted to close with the thoughts of the fact that we are living in the days of Noah. And in Matthew 24, verse 37, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall it also the coming of the Son of Man be. I do believe the Lord's coming is soon. And you know what? How was Noah living in his day? We need to be living the same way. It says in Genesis 6:11 that the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. You know what? That did not affect Noah. You know what Noah found? He found grace. Not only did he find grace, but Noah was just. He didn't let the corruption affect his life. He was just and he walked with God. We need to be doing that ourselves today and not being worrying about who's ruling over us. You know why? I know who's in charge. And he can change it when he wants to. And you know what? We know we should not be meddling in what God is instituting and allowing. We need to be as Noah was, finding grace or strength. We need to be obedient to God's commandments, and we need to walk with Him. That means we need to maintain our fellowship with Him by a confessing of sin. May God help us to appreciate what it means to be subject unto the higher powers. They were established by God for our good, and man has corrupted it. Father, I just pray that You'd help us to appreciate the blessings that we have in this land, that our value systems are going down, and yet they are not at the very bottom, that we cannot meet in peace and serve Thee. Help us, Lord, to honor the King, the President, the Governor, and those in authority over us. And when our conscience tells us that we cannot obey man-made law, but we obey Thee, help us, Lord, to suffer the consequences without complaint. Bless, Lord, in these days, and help us to live like Noah. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.